Good, isn't he?
Clay, I didn't know that last song. I love that. You fooled me. The name of it's Rushing Wind. I was all geared up to do a little Jernigan, and you threw a curve on me. That is the essence of what we're going to be talking about today, that song that we just sang. And before we get into the sermon today, I want to introduce y'all to a couple of guys. John Dungerdivy, right? Did I pronounce that right? John would stand in his father, and I can't pronounce your name, but I've heard you go by Papa. Yes. Papa work? John leads a ministry in India called Lifelight. It is a children's orphanage, a Christian children's orphanage, and we support you guys monthly, and we're excited about what you guys do and the love of Christ that you all on the other side of the globe, and we're excited. I want to pray for you guys and pray a blessing on your ministry, and I'm glad that you're with us this morning. So let's pray. Father, I lift up John and Papa and the entire ministry team of Lifelight. God, your oceans can't separate us. Nationalities can't separate us. Language can't separate us for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray blessings on them. I pray blessings on the children and on the workers. God, I pray that you would provide their every need. God, I thank you for the privilege that we have of being a part of this ministry that's miles and miles and miles away, but we can somehow take part, Father, in what's happening on the other side of the globe. And we pray blessings on them in Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you guys. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. I love this story of Nicodemus. Let's read John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. Notice how he came at night. You think he was maybe sneaking around a little bit, and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him." Now notice, at this point, there's been a statement from Nicodemus, no question. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Don't you love that? Nicodemus hadn't asked how to be born again. He just started talking. And Jesus knew exactly what was on his mind. He knew exactly what he needed to hear. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." Now I want you to notice right there, Spirit, big S. Not a little S. Yeah, it's big, Jordan. It's like the fish you told me about. It's big S. Born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Anybody been doing any, giving birth to any flesh? I mean, that's what we do, isn't it? Don't we function in the flesh so many times? But the Spirit, big S, gives birth to Spirit. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. This is, today is not only Memorial Day that we celebrate a little earlier as we asked our, our members of the military to stand, but it's also, anybody else know what else it is? It is Pentecost Sunday. Right? Raise your hand if you don't. I won't do that to you. Some of you don't know what the heck Pentecost is, do you? That's okay. I didn't either till I was about 35 years old. That's kind of a shame. But I didn't know what Pentecost was, but we're going to talk about Pentecost today. And the title of the sermon is, We Need More Power. See if you remember this television show. You know, when I was watching that, now we got a two-way thing going there. All right. When I was watching that, it reminded me of a His Hands Work Day with Billy Crimm for some reason. The glue in the forehead to the table especially, that was priceless. You know, this passage that we read today, Jesus was teaching Nicodemus something very, very significant. And he's trying to teach us the same thing today. I want to show you something. This is my Benford T-1000 power drill. Can anybody do that? Come on, do it with me. Y'all are weak. Yeah, that is the weakest thing. Now, this is designed for a very specific purpose. It's designed to, you know, drive screws or drill holes and this is a pretty good power drill, but I want us to see that it is, no matter what the design, no matter what the purpose, no matter how well it was designed to work, it's worthless without power. Suddenly, this device that was designed with this very specific purpose, suddenly it has the power to accomplish its purpose. Church, we need to understand this thing called the Holy Spirit. I was visiting with someone recently that said that they had gone to church all of their life. And this was an midlife adult, and that all through the years growing up, they went to church very regularly, and they never could remember ever hearing anything about the Holy Spirit. Well, church, if we don't understand the Holy Spirit, then we don't understand anything. We are rendered lifeless. We are rendered lifeless. And that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. You can try to accomplish things in the flesh, in your own strength, but unless you have the Spirit, we're just a resounding gong. We're the drill without the power source. I'm gonna actually today, I want you to take your seatbelt, grab it right here, and I want you to pull it over, and I want you to buckle it. Now, everybody do that. Here we go. Buckle. Because I want you to hold on, because we're going to do a 6-week sermon series this morning. Are you ready? Never done that. Somebody earlier said they had to be somewhere at 2. Rachel? Did Rachel have to be somewhere at 2? I promised to get you out by 2, Rachel. She wanted lunch in the deal too, so anyway. So if you want to follow along in your your handout there, your insert. This, I wanted to provide you with something that you can take with you and you can put it in your Bible. We're going to learn about the Holy Spirit this morning. And like I said, this is a lot of information, and I'm going to hit it quickly, but I've given you the scripture references to go back and to see this and to let this absorb in more later. But I think it's important we understand who the Holy Spirit is and why we need the Holy Spirit and how we receive the Holy Spirit. So here we go. First of all, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is God. I love, when I say the Trinity, I love to say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We don't believe that there's this hierarchy where God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's what Scripture tells us, and we understand. We may not be able to wrap our mind completely around that, but we understand that God has manifest Himself to us in different ways, and the Holy Spirit is one of those ways. And again, I've given you references, Scripture references, and I'm not just pulling this stuff out of my hat. These things come from God's Word. The second thing, the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It makes sense that if it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is God, but the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of Christ Himself. The third thing there, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So we understand from Scripture that the Virgin Mary, before she had come to know her husband, while she was still engaged to be married, promised to be married, that she was conceived, that there was a child conceived in her by the Holy Spirit, and it was God Himself manifesting Himself in the flesh, becoming flesh among us in the person of Jesus Christ. We also understand from Luke chapter 3, it tells us that Jesus received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon Him when He was baptized. In Luke chapter 3, it says that the Holy Spirit, and now notice up until this point, Christ had not done anything. He had not launched His ministry. He had not healed anyone. He had not turned the water into wine. He was getting ready, preparing to go spend His 40 days in the wilderness and do battle with the devil. But instead, before He did that, it says He was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended upon Him in the form of a dove. Then Jesus launched His ministry and the rest is history. Jesus was empowered and directed by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. So Jesus Himself was empowered and directed by the Spirit. He was empowered on the cross to endure the cross through the power of the Spirit. Hebrews 9 tells us, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, how much more shall He cleanse our consciousness from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to endure the cross on our behalf. Resurrection came through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to Romans 8. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit. There's that big S again, who lives in you. So I tell people all the time that come to me with brokenness in their life. It could be broken marriages. It could be broken relationships. It could be broken, just their life is just broken. They're just a mess. And they come to me and I said, you're in luck. Because the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus lives in you. And can resurrect anything in your life. If He can resurrect Christ, Can he not resurrect us? Can he not resurrect, not just when we die someday and we're resurrected in to be in eternal life with Christ, but he can resurrect stuff going on in our lives. Do we believe that, church? The power of the Holy Spirit can resurrect anything. Christ ascended so that he could send us the Spirit so that we could receive the Spirit. He tells his disciples before he ascended, he said, it is for your good that I am going away. And what did he mean? He meant was, when I'm here on earth, when I'm in this flesh and blood body, I'm limited by time and space. I get tired, I get weak, I get hungry. All of these things that this body, that comes with this body. But when I send the Holy Spirit, he won't be bound by any of that. He won't be bound by any of that. So he says, I'm going for your good. Unless I go away, the counselor, big C, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Aren't you glad he sent him? And then we pick it up in the whole topic of today, Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came the first time he came at Pentecost, which is Acts chapter 2. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And I love just stopping there. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began. Exclamation point. They were sitting around having a meeting, a prayer meeting. And they had an election. They elected a new disciple to take Judas's place. And they sat and they waited and they prayed as Jesus had instructed them. And that's all they knew to do. That's all they had the power to do. And then the Holy Spirit came on them at Pentecost, and boom, 3,000 people came to Jesus that day. Do we want that kind of power in our lives? The next point, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Passage after passage after passage, Jesus says, not only am I going to send the Spirit to be with you, but I'm going to send the Spirit to reside in you. Did you know that you have the God of all creation living inside of you if you're in Christ Jesus? Did you know that? That's big stuff, guys. I mean, I don't think we really understand that. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to slow down. Whew. I'm getting fired up. The Holy Spirit is received at baptism. Same deal after Pentecost. The people that the disciples began to speak in the native tongues of the people who had come into the city from all many different nations, and they began to speak the gospel. And these people were cut to the quick. They were convicted, and they said, "What should we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Here we go, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What he was saying was, you see this stuff that's going on with us? The power that's come upon us? You want some of that? Repent and be baptized. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life. The Spirit was sent from God through Christ. And I'm hitting these things quickly. Receiving the Spirit can be separate from salvation. Now, I know I'm treading on some theological grounds here, and I understand that some people may disagree with me, but I'm just looking at the Scripture, guys, just looking at the Scripture. Acts chapter 19 says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Why would Paul ask them that if that was a given? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we've not even heard about the Holy Spirit. What's that? So it seems to be that that you can believe and you can be a disciple and not have asked for the Holy Spirit and received the Holy Spirit. We're going to get more into that in a moment. Believers are born of the Spirit. This passage we just read today, flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Our salvation is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. That's why if people ask you, and I'm just shooting straight with you this morning, if people ask you, are you saved? Are you going to heaven when you die? If people ask you that and your immediate response is not, you better believe it. I'm there. If it's, I think so, I hope so, you need to ask God about that. You and God need to talk. Because what Scripture tells us is that the Spirit, big S, Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So, most of you, if you've been here for very long, you know my story, but I was in the church for 30-some-odd years and had been saved and been baptized and when it was at church every Sunday and all those kinds of things, but I would have answered, I hope so. But there's came this moment where I know that I just, the Holy Spirit came on me and I understood that I was a child of God, irregardless of what I had done, irregardless of what I would ever do, that I was a child of the King. And that what it's talking about is the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. If you have the Holy Spirit residing in you, He tells you, you belong to God. You're a child of God. You're a child of the King. And if you don't have assurance of that, please come and talk with me. And let's talk about that. Let's pray about that. Acts chapter 2 tells us that we must repent of our sins and be baptized, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. So there's this act of repentance that's necessary. The Holy Spirit is God's mark or His seal on believers. The next one, the Holy Spirit is God's deposit to believers. It's like, I was trying to think of how to word this, but remember the old layaways? Remember the layaways? It's like, I don't even know if they do layaways anymore, but you used to. You go in there and you say, well, there's a drill, and I want that drill, but it's more than I can afford. And in the old days, you could say, set this aside. I want to pay you a deposit, and you set that aside for me, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to redeem it later. And that was layaway. We're on God's layaway plan. He has placed a deposit on us, and it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it says in Ephesians 1, the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Don't you love that? All right, I think we're in about week 4 of the sermon series now, so if you can take a breath. Here we go. The Spirit controls believers surrendered to Christ. Now, that word, we don't like that word control because it seems there's kind of some negative connotations. But God, it says Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And if we open the door, He will come in. It doesn't say that He comes in with one of those clubs and bangs the door down and crashes into our heart. He comes and He knocks. And when we let Him in, we're surrendering control, and the Holy Spirit now takes control rather than us. So it's at our invitation that the Spirit takes control. The Holy Spirit provides peace to believers. The Holy Spirit provides power to believers. And it's what I was saying earlier is it's too many times, church, we as Christians, we are the power drill without the power source. And we run around impressing people with, look at this cool drill. Isn't this cool? Let me tell you all the things that it can do. But we don't have power when we don't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit provides truth. Another thing that happened when the Holy Spirit came in my life, came into my heart, is suddenly it's like scales fell off my eyes, and suddenly things that I just saw the world differently. It wasn't because I was brilliant or anything. It was just the Holy Spirit began to teach me truth. And I began to see things that grieve God himself and things that God rejoices over. Those things began to be clear to me through the power of the Holy Spirit. He provides truth. The Holy Spirit provides counsel. He convicts the world of sin. He teaches believers. He provides strength, encouragement, and growth to the church. The Holy Spirit helps believers in our weakness. I love this passage in Romans 8. It says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And in the next one, the Spirit intercedes for believers to the Father. Every week, and I just want to tell you, I think I've told you this before, but every week as I'm preparing the sermon, this is my prayer every time. Holy Spirit, intercede from me to the Father. Make His heart my heart. Make His mind my mind. Make His words my words. And if you notice, every time I start to preach, what's my prayer? Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority and transform us. See, I don't have anything to tell y'all. Jeff Hatcher hasn't got anything worth hearing. But God Himself, through the power of the Holy Spirit, now we got something. The Holy Spirit intercedes to the Father for believers. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to each and every one of us, different kinds of gifts. We talked about that a couple of years ago, and we'll talk about it again. The Spirit matures us, purifies us, sanctifies us, makes us, He's creating in us God Himself. He's creating us, and that didn't come out right. He's creating us to be holy before a holy God. He's purifying and maturing us and sanctifying us. And the Spirit's mission is to bring glory to Christ and to build up the church. That's the goal of the Spirit. Listen to these passages. John 16, the Holy Spirit will bring glory to me. That's Jesus. 1 Corinthians 14, we excel in gifts that build up the church. Ephesians 4, it was Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Listen to this, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. He hasn't just given us these gifts just because it's cool, just because, you know, we can impress our friends and our family. He's given us these gifts to serve His people, to build His church, and to bring glory to Himself. Now, final point. How do we do this? How do we receive the Holy Spirit? I mean, if you have it, you know it. I promise you, you know it. If you're wondering, you probably don't. And we, if you want it, if you're wondering and you want some of that, it's like, I don't know what he's talking about, but I want me some of that. Here's what we do. We ask. Luke chapter 11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give. And it was Jesus talking about how we like to give good gifts to our children. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Ask Him. Invite Him in. Come, Holy Spirit, I'm here. I want you in my life. I need you in my life. I want you to do all these things that you do, Holy Spirit, in me. Ask. Pentecost, what a glorious day for us to celebrate. The Holy Spirit is everything that we are about as a church should come right down to the very heart, very essence of the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Or we're just flesh giving birth to flesh. Don't you want to be spirit giving birth to spirit? Doing things that we can't do? Don't you want some of that? I mean, it's like, that can't happen, but it did. That can't happen. Not everything logical says that can't happen, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, it did. Don't we want that? Do we want that, church? Let's pray. Well, Father, we give you thanks for the Holy Spirit. We give you thanks that your word says that you have not left us as orphans. You've not abandoned us. But you have sent your Holy Spirit to be with us and to live in us and to empower us to be the church. And so we rejoice in that. And God, I pray this morning that those who aren't quite sure, those who are questioning this morning, I pray that you give them the courage to ask that you come in, to ask that you change them by the power of your Spirit. Heal us, God. Make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close this morning, the altar's open as we sing to close. I will be down front if you would like to come and talk with me or pray with me about anything. Let's stand.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me.
Sing again, holiness.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. Take my heart and form it. Take my
flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. Go in the power of the Spirit. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Take my heart and form it. Take my to yours, to yours.